Reading from John chapter 20, verses 10 to 18. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord!" And she told them that he had said these things to her.
Thank you, Michael. I thought for a moment I was there. Well, for about 2,000 years now, almost, we've been wishing each other a happy Easter. But it was somewhat different that first Easter Sunday. As far as his disciples were concerned, Jesus had died and that was an end to it. All the razzmatazz of his 3 years of ministry was over, snuffed out by a combined effort of the religious leaders and the Roman governor. Everyone was set up for making it the best possible burial in the circumstances, but it was a bit disturbed by the regulations concerning the Passover Sabbath, and so everything was a bit behind. So Mary Magdalene, from the local fish processing town Magdala on Lake Galilee, went with some of the other ladies to finish off the packing of spices around the body. But when they arrived, they were amazed to find the tomb open, the body gone, and two angels telling them that Jesus had risen from the dead. What were they to make of that? They went and told some of the disciples, who went to see for themselves, but it was all so confusing. So Mary went back to the tomb to check out what had just happened. And there she was completely overcome by sadness and started crying. And then these two angels asked her, "Why are you crying?" And she shares with them the fact that the body's not there anymore, and she just assumes it's been put somewhere else. And then she turns around and bumps into this person virtually who's behind her, and well, it's got to be the gardener. Who else would be in a garden? She just assumes. But it's Jesus. His voice saying her name makes that quite clear. So the first person to actually see the risen Lord is a woman. And in those days, women were not even accepted as reliable witnesses in court of law. And she was someone who had been healed earlier in Jesus' ministry. He cast 7 demons out of her. So she had been a poor thing. And she was distraught at the fact that Jesus' body was not there. So Jesus, when he rose from the dead, seemed to choose various people to appear to. And you know, he just had the right words for each one of them. For Mary, it was a word of reassurance and a job to do. Go off and tell the disciples. And she did. "I have seen the Lord." Not just his body's gone. "I have seen the Lord," she said. That was a bit different. And various others saw the Lord as well. The same day, his disciples huddled up in that locked room. Jesus came in. And what did he say to these fearful people? "Peace be with you." And they felt it. They needed it. Then there was Thomas a week later. He'd missed out, for various reasons, on this meeting with Jesus. And he could not take someone else's word for it. You may have seen the risen Lord. I haven't. And until I see it for myself, I'm not believing, he said. In comes Jesus. On cue. Put your hands in my wounds, he says to Thomas. And Thomas falls at his feet. My Lord and my God. Jesus met his need. And then told the disciples, he told them all, that he was going to send them out. And so it continued on the road to Emmaus. There were two people wondering what on earth it was all about. Where were the scriptures leading? They couldn't understand it. And so this person comes alongside them and he takes them. During that hour or 2 hours walk to Emmaus, he takes them through the Old Testament and says, look, this is talking about Jesus. This is talking, and this is how this works. And by the time they got to Emmaus, they understood. And of course, Jesus broke bread and they realized who it was. He met their need. They needed some theological help. And my word, did they get it? And in fact, so did all the disciples. And that's why Jesus spent 40 days with them before his ascension. And in Acts chapter 1, he says, Jesus appeared from time to time and helped them with their understanding of God's word. So that by the time they were left on their own, they were able to put two and two together. Peter was actually able to stand up and make a sermon using Old Testament quotations, pointing to Jesus. And then, of course, there are the various things that Paul refers to. He refers to 500 people seeing the risen Lord Jesus all in one time. We don't know anything about that. That must have been a fantastic time, mustn't it? And also James, his brother, who was going to become the leader of the church in Jerusalem. He needed a special word as well. And we can't forget Peter, can we? Peter, who denied him three times in the garden. He needed a special word. And so when they were back at their fishing nets, Jesus comes along, reenacts something that happened earlier in his ministry, and he says, cast your nets out on the other side, chaps. I know you're fishermen of some quality, but if you put your fishing nets on the other side, you might catch something. And did they? They certainly did. And Peter recognized immediately, it's the Lord, he said. And onto land he swam. And the others, of course, came by boat. It was much more simple. And then Jesus gave them some food to eat that he was cooking. And he spoke to Peter specifically. Three times he says, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And Peter kept on getting a bit irritated. Yes, you know I love you. Yes, you know I love you. Yes, you know I love you, Lord. And Jesus gave him specific commands. Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. He was preparing Peter to be reinstated as a leader in the church and to take care of people. And we can't also forget Paul, can we? A good many years hence, he also saw the risen Lord Jesus. Well after everyone else, when he was on the road to Damascus. Well, he had to, didn't he? Because an apostle had to be someone who'd spent time with Jesus and had seen the risen Lord. That was one of the marks of the apostles. Paul couldn't have called himself an apostle if he hadn't seen the risen Lord Jesus. And so he did. Jesus arranged it. And you know, today, it's exactly the same thing. Jesus meets us, the risen Lord. We don't see him, because as John writes in his gospel, just after the account we've been reading, blessed are those who believe without seeing me. It's done now by faith. But we still see inwardly through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit opens our eyes, scales fall off, and we understand that Jesus is who he said he was and is. And he is risen. We understand that. And our lives change as a result. And by faith, we're given real hope, real purpose, a new life, and a new future. And we know we're going to be with him. Death has been conquered, as we've been singing. So it is real for us. It can be real to us today, just as it was to Mary when she turned round and saw Jesus. It's by eyes of faith that we see the risen Lord Jesus today. But one day, as we heard them singing, we will see him face to face.